What did we have like all over us? That's right. The Canadians up there burning their bacon. Canadian bacon's coming down here. We were at the beach and it was supposed to be really nice weather. So, you know, the kids came up, and that's why we tried to do it last week, because kids were coming from Virginia and before Jansen and everyone leaves for the Coast Guard and wherever he's going to be going. And so we finally got everyone together, well, other than our oldest. But so we were at the beach and had a couple of nice days, and then all of a sudden the smoke rolls in, you know, and then it was, you can't do anything with that. But this day in history, in AD 64, do you know what happened on that day? AD 64, it started the Great Roman Fire. And that burned like in the city of Rome for 3 days, and it took out like big sections of the city. That happened actually today, this day, in AD 64. So, Jivian, you missed my I had the confession of my naughty book. I kept using that all week, and they're like, no, Dad. So anyway, that fire, you know, reminded, like, with all the smoke and everything, it just was kind of reminding me of the fire. That the spirit's rolling in now, Bob. Yep, the naughty. Yep. So then, anyhow, we know Nero then blamed a lot of that fire on the Christians, the early Christians, because they were gaining too much influence within Rome, and thus started many types of problems. But so what kind of jacket goes up in flames? A blazer. Okay, the blazer goes up in flames. And then, did you hear about the fire at the circus? And then, why did the man with flames, you ever see those guys with tattoos like all over their arms? So, this guy had flame tattoos all over his arms. So, why wasn't the guy with the flame tattoos all over his arms allowed into the White House? They don't allow firearms into the White House. So we got a couple there anyway. All right. Well, this morning we're going to continue into Hebrews 11, right? So we haven't gone real far. We're only at verse 30, but that's where we're going to be at. And today's title, since we don't have the bulletin, it's Faith Before and After. And we're jumping and looking at this faith, as we get into it, we'll expand on that. But Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, Lord. Lord, thank you for just the time that we can laugh and enjoy each other and have, you know, some coffee and some fellowship and all that fun stuff. And Lord, just speak to us this morning. Help us just get a little bit of grain of what you want us to do within our life, out of today, Lord. So speak to us in your name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 11:30. That's the Hebrews 11:30. Now we also know that Hebrews 11:1. Now, as we continue to go down, I keep pushing this and promoting it, my marketing plant of faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hebrews 11:1. Being sure of what we hope for. So today we're in Hebrews 11:30, where this is the point now, the breaking out of, they're talking about Jericho. Hebrews 11:30 says this. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Today's title, Faith Before and Faith After. Before, after. So I wanted to look at Jericho this morning, because the scripture says that, I'll read it again, by faith the walls of Jericho fell. By faith. Now obviously it doesn't say here, God made the walls fall down. Like, we know that God had that plan, right? But it doesn't say that God brought the walls down. It said faith brought these walls down. And I started thinking about that, and I was thinking about how this looks, and I started to pull back out in Jericho. And so we're going to look at this whole scenario of Jericho and how this all looked for the Israelite people when they came into Jericho. So if you go to Joshua, and you don't have to go to Joshua, but we'll be jumping around in Joshua. So the walls of Jericho fell by faith. God had a specific designed plan. So on this plan that God had, he told Joshua, this is what you're going to do, and these walls are going to fall down. And we know the story of Jericho, don't we? And it makes absolutely, from the human perspective, it makes absolutely no common sense of this fortified city, this huge city, had these huge walls. And the walls, I think there's a bunch of stuff, and I'm not sure the exact height and everything, but the walls were 14 feet high and 11 feet thick, and they had this 35-degree angle on top. This is what they think how it was. And so if you came up against Jericho, this huge fortified city, these huge stone walls, you couldn't get through. And these gates that were on there, so years, as we know, when you read about how they invaded and how they conquered cities, they would either surrender and starve the people out, right? We wouldn't let supplies in, wouldn't let water or everything that to come in, and that could take months to overtake a city that way. Or a lot of times, and they would bring dirt and make ramps up into the city, well, the whole time, and then, they're getting picked off by archers and everything. A lot of people would die and those types of things. But God then gave this plan. Here's the plan. The plan, which is a silly plan, when you think about it from the human perspective, to march around the city, to go around the city, all know the story, to walk and around the city so many times, and then on the last day, there and the walls were supposed to crumble. In my mind, does that make sense in the human mind? No, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So as we start looking at this, in Jericho 5, or I'm sorry, Joshua 5, jumping over to Joshua 5, verse 1. Says this. Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until we had crossed over, their hearts melted and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. So before we even get into this unfolding, the people in Jericho and Canaan heard of what God was doing with Israel, right? And they lost what? They lost hope. So their hope was we're done. So they lost all hope. So they were going to be bunkered down and fortified in this city because they knew that they lost hope. They didn't think they could win. They didn't think they could overtake them. They lost hope. That's what scripture says. And then as Joshua and the Israelites start advancing and they're near Jericho and they're walking towards Jericho, once again, we talked about what the following couple of weeks. What is one of the battles that we face constantly? The spiritual battle, the realm of the spiritual battle. We'll go back and we looked at when, the prince of Persia stopped the angel. And when you look at Ephesians and it talks about the spiritual battle and the spiritual armor, here we see the same exact thing. Even before this battle starts, there's the spiritual realm that is overtaking this. Obviously God had the plan. obviously God gave this plan. But then as Joshua was moving and advancing, you see in 13 through 15, it says this. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. So there's this guy standing out there with this sword. And you know, you think of a sword, you think of this guy, drawn sword. When I think of a drawn sword and a warrior kind of standing out there in the field, I just don't think of a guy standing there like this. You know, I think of a warrior standing there with a drawn sword. And when I think of, in my mind, this guy has like big arms, you know, probably like the tattoos. No, but he's standing there with his sword drawn. This warrior standing there out. So Joshua goes up to him. He says, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." So here's this commander of the army, an angel, I would think, right? It doesn't say it's an angel, but it's a commander of the Lord's army. And he's standing out there. And he gives these, so the spiritual battle, even before the battle starts, in the spiritual dimension, things are taking place. So how many times in our life, when we are faced with things, that spiritual battle is already taking place? And so many times as people, we forget that. We forget it. All the time we forget it. No, I forget it all the time. "Neither," he replied, "but a commander of the Lord, of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. So this started before even the battle. The battle was taking place. This before faith, this faith that started before. And then what we see is the faith that we start after. And Jericho, so this angel, this commander of the Lord's army then goes to explain what they are to do. That explanation, which is found in Joshua 6, all through after, and this is where the faith before and after starts to really take shape. So as the angel, the commander of the Lord's army tells him, the Lord said, this is what you are to do. You're supposed to take seven priests from Israel. And these seven priests are supposed to walk around the city blowing. This is what says in all through Joshua 6. Blowing the trumpet. There's supposed to be armed guards before them and armed guards behind them. And these seven priests are supposed to walk around blowing these horns once a day. And then they're not supposed to say anything. They're not supposed to do anything. They're just supposed to walk around. And now think about that. So these guys are getting up every day and they're putting on their armor, they're putting on their helmets, they're grabbing their swords, these priests are grabbing their horns, and they go out, and Joshua tells them every day, for 6 days, this is what you're supposed to do. So they pull, and they get the Ark of the Covenant, and they take, the priests walk with the Ark of the Covenant with them, and they're all blowing these horns around the city. What do you think the guys in Jericho were thinking? You know what I mean? Like, so, these guys are crazy. These guys, what are they doing? I mean, were they sitting, I was thinking of this yesterday, like, were they sitting up there eating like chicken, you know? Guys, first day they were probably, right? Yeah, so So they were watching these guys, and I'm sure they thought, like, the first day, I'm sure the guys in Jericho were like ready. But then they saw them walk around blowing these horns. Then they go and they leave and they went back to camp. Second day, they've maybe been ready. Third day, they're probably like, these, what are they doing? Like, what are these Israelite people are nuts. Like, so they're just walking around the city. But they were doing what? They were doing what they were told. God gave them a command. And at this point in Israel's history, they've seen God work enough to understand, hey, God means what he says. And their faith level now was growing and advanced in their ability to understand God, that they now had a faith level that they could implement. As I said, when we started this whole thing, the language of God is what? Faith. Faith. That language. Because God works when people are faithful. And that's what we see here. And that's what Hebrews 11 calls it out, of this faithfulness. So these guys, for 6 days, every day, they got up. They put their gear on. And I don't know how long or how big the city was, but I'm sure it was, you know, a pretty good city. And it was hot. So they get out there, and you see the priest, blow their horn, all, and they come back, and the guys are sweaty and hot, and they put their stuff down, and they did that for 6 days, just like God told them, just like the commander of the Lord's army told them to do. On the seventh day, what were they to do? Which we know the story. On the seventh day, they're supposed to do the same thing, but this time, they're supposed to go around the city 7 times. So 7 priests, and you know how God works in numbers, right? So 7 priests to walk, blowing 7 horns, trumpets, that walked around the city 7 times. And on the 7th time, when they went around the city, Joshua did exactly what God told him to do. Is on the 7th time around, you're supposed to shout, and the walls are going to come down. It makes absolutely no sense, but God does what he wants, doesn't he? And the people of Israel understood at this point the faith. So they had to first start out in a faith to understand that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. It's kind of like this on the flip side of this. So 40 years before this, what happened, which we know with Israel? Israel went to go to the promised land, and they came back and said, oh, we can't take the promised land. They're too big. And they were what? They were faithless. They didn't have the faith at the time. So then what happened? Like, God told them, this is your land, go take it. 40 years before they had to wander in the desert and the wilderness until that generation died out, until this next generation came up. And they saw it. So if Israel would have had the faith prior, God already had the plan. But God didn't let that, God couldn't work that plan. He postponed that plan because Israel didn't have the faith at the time. See what I'm saying? So this faith, this language of faith, this language of God works with our faith level. God has the plan. He had the plan for Israel to go take the promised land, and they were too scared to do it. Only 2 guys, remember we talked about this, only 2 of the spies were saying, hey, we can do it. And they had the faith level to do it, but no one else did. And God didn't work with it. He said, all right, you guys are idiots. You walk around this wilderness. Okay, you don't believe me? Walk around the wilderness, figure it out yourself till you all die out. Right? Now we see these guys 40 plus years later, they come to this Jericho wall, and their faith level now has increased that they say, okay, we can take this city because God can do this. And they implement their faith, and they step out, and they go and walk around the city. 7 days, go and walk around the city, and they're blowing these trumpets, and it falls down just exactly as God told them to do it. But God didn't allow it to happen unless their faith level was there. Where's my faith level? Where's our faith level? It's kind of like driving. Did you ever drive a manual car? A lot of growing up, manual. I mean, there's not too many manual cars out there. There still are. Jacqueline, have you ever driven a manual car, like stick shift? Jivian? Veronique? No. So now we know if them in a car, Amy, if you must get, you're trying to learn? Right. Okay, perfect. Trying to learn. It's like this is the faith. Like it's like trying to drive a manual car. You get like the car's there. The car's built to drive. The purpose of the car is to drive. But if you sit down in that seat, the driver's seat, and you can't understand, like if you just sit there, you're going to sit there all day long. You're going to sit there all year long. But if you can't right? You're not going anywhere. So Israel here was getting their faith. That's what they were doing. They were putting their faith in God. The car was there. God was there. God said, this is the plan. Israelites had to get it into gear. Right? They had to get it into first gear. And faith is kind of like just like that manual car. We get it in the first. Like if you're not experienced with your faith level, like a manual car, what do you do? Or then you give it too much gas. You flip and you go. I remember my first time doing it. My friend had, I forget what kind of car it was, and I popped the clutch and just smoked. Those were the fun days. But anyhow, then you really had fun once you learned how to drive them. But that's what our faith is like. It's like getting this, our faith into gear. You go from getting it in the first and learning how to understand your faith. And it's a little choppy and bumpy and you fall and you just don't get it. You can't practice it. Just like our faith, just Israel's faith right here. They got it into gear. The plan was there. God had the plan. Israel had put it into gear. And they walked around that city and they were commended in Hebrews 11 for their faith. And as I said, in Hebrews 11, it doesn't say, let's read that verse again. Hebrews 11, verse 30. Faith, the walls of Jericho fell. That to me, that by faith they fell. It doesn't call out that God dropped the walls, that God destroyed the walls. We know ultimately God did. But it was by the faith of these people. This faith working with God's plan allowed these walls to fall down. Do you see what I'm saying? You get that? Like the Israelites is my level in here. Remember I told you going over Hebrews 11 for me. So when I say me, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Is my faith level in gear? Should it be in a higher gear? Am I still in the learning stage, like jumping around in the manual car? Or am I in first gear and I'm ready to go to second? Where my coast and I put it in neutral. Like many of us have lived many times by faith and we've been in first, second, third, fourth, boom. And we're like, maybe we're in like a higher up in the sixth gear and we're cruising on our faith level. But back and you, right? Don't we do that with our faith? We coast it out. You're going down a hill. You kind of coast it out. Is my faith level where these guys were in Jericho, that would I be willing to understand, okay, God asked me to do that. Maybe I said this before, not that this guy who was at a gas station, did I ever tell you this? He went in and stood on his head. Did I ever tell you this? So this guy that I know, he's pumping gas at a convenience store. He's there pumping gas, and he felt like the Spirit told him, I want you to go into the convenience store and stand on your head. Right? He's like, what? And you know, he's a normal guy, not like this freaky out or anything. Normal guy, loves the Lord, and he's pumping, he's like, I'm not, okay, whatever. And he just felt this intense pressure with this in his mind to go into this convenience store and stand on his head, like a headstand. So as he was pumping gas, he was, put the cap on, he's in his car ready to go. This pressure on him of this feeling would not leave. So he pulls up, goes to the parking space, goes inside his convenience store, flips up and stands on his head by like the freezers. And the guy behind the counter looks at him and he's like in shock. And so the guy then who was standing on his head flips back down, starts to leave. And the guy behind the counter said, excuse me. He said, why did you do that? And the guy said, well, I just felt like I needed to do that. And the guy behind the counter started to cry. He said, you know, I was sitting here. I'm getting ready to kill myself. Suicidal. I was getting ready to kill myself. I'm like, God, if you are really, I'm not going to kill myself, but if you are really 100% true, and this was his prayer, this lost guy, then have someone come in here on their head. And this guy had this spirit to go into this place and stand on his head. And this guy was behind the counter, was praying that specific prayer. And not only didn't he kill himself, but then he became saved and started to follow the Lord. So sometimes you think about these things that don't make any sense in our mind, God has this plan. Joshua didn't understand the plan that God had for Jericho, right? But they went out and they put their faith in the first, second, third gear and they started walking around the city. And scripture says that those walls fell down by faith. Faith. The people of Israel, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith, the definition of faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Joshua 5 talks about the kings and Canaan that they had no hope. They lost their hope. Their hope was gone. They saw what God was doing with Israel and they lost their hope. They didn't trust God anyhow. But Israel, their hope, now faith is being sure of what we hope for. And they took that up and they started down that way as a nation of Israel. Now, obviously, as a nation today, there's still the remnant of Israel that are following the Messiah and waiting for God and waiting for this, which many of them aren't. Just like in the United States, there's many people that are following the Lord and many people that aren't. There's many people that are saying, I trust God, I know who God is, but where's their faith level? Is their faith level in gear? Are they still driving an automatic car in the gear? The church, they listen to K-Love and hey, it's all great. Everything's great, you know, but where's their faith level? Where's their communication with God? Because God speaks, God listens, God watches, God has a plan and it's implemented through faith. If we don't have our faith in gear, then I'm going to say, if I don't have my faith in gear, I'm a worthless Christian, right? I'm just kind of out there blowing in the wind. If my faith isn't where it should be with God. Romans 15:4. We're going to end with this. I'm going to start with this. I'm just going to start in 15. Romans 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it was written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. So these things that were written in the past that we just read about in Joshua was made for what? It says right here. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, me. Written there for me to understand it. Written there for me to get my faith level where it should be. Written there for me to see the power of God working in Israel. Seeing what God can do when he was Egypt. Seeing what God could do when he brought out of Egypt and then across the sea and then crossed the Jordan River. And now standing with Israel, and Israel implements their faith level, and they go through over the city. Of course, we know what happened after that. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. We might have hope. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for. Scripture is there so we might have hope. Faith and hope. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. My prayer is this. What are we hoping for? I wonder what that, is. That's pretty loud. But anyhow, sorry. Whoop, squirrel. You know, you see that movie. What are we hoping for in our personal life? In our personal life. We hope that someone we love that's turned their eyes toward come back? Are we hoping that our neighbor across the street or across the field who's cursed us out and threatened to kill you, anything else, are you hoping that they come to the Lord before they die? Are we hoping that the people that come on our bus, hoping that these kids and their parents come to know the Lord? We hoping that grandkids see a faith in their parents, understand that they want to follow the Lord as they get older? What's our hope? Where that hope is, our faith is being sure of what we hope for. We need to have our faith locked in and engaged and in gear, even if we don't understand what's going on around us right now. We're not to lose faith, are we? We're supposed to continue to pray for our kids. We're supposed to continue to pray for our grandkids. We're supposed to pray, continue to pray for our neighbors. We're supposed to continue to keep the doors open and walk in here if there's 50 people or one person, right? That's what we're to do. That's what we're called to as Christians, as believers. We're supposed to go ministries, pack up, and send stuff overseas to help other communities. Like, and we're supposed to have being supporting missionaries that are out there promoting the gospel. That's what we're continually supposed to do. Our faith has to be locked in. So for me, as we pray, as we close in prayer here, we're going to pray again for what my faith is, where I'm thinking, where I'm locked in, where I've been locked in for the last couple of years. We're praying for what? We're praying for families. What did I say? 10 to 20 families, new families in the here. That's what we're praying for. We're not just praying it like a gong. We're going to put this mat. That's, we put it here. praying for 10 to 20 families within this church that want to work, that want to serve, that want to be part of a growing ministry. And then we're praying for 1 to 200 people that are lost, that the guy that's standing there behind the counter saying, Lord, if you're real, then bring someone to me and have them stand on their head. Right? Because we got room. We have room here. We want 200 people in here. And we're putting it in gear. Right? We're putting it in gear. I'm going to close in prayer. And then we're going to pray with the person next to you for those two things as a church. Right? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I just pray that you'll help us put our faith into gear. That we will step out even when it doesn't make sense. That we will understand that your faith, the faith that you want us to have, might not make sense to us whatsoever, but that we're supposed to walk in a way that we want to honor and follow and trust you, that our hope is in these things. Now, faith in Lord, your word tells us faith is being sure of what we hope for, that hope. That's where we're putting there, that we see it. We know it's there, and that's what we're doing, and we're walking towards that. If the times are good or if times are bad, if the winds are strong in front of us, if there's persecution, it doesn't matter that we're walking that way because that's what we know we're to do. Lord, help us that way. Lord, help us to pray for and remember these things with those people around us. In your name we pray. Amen.